I'm here in Big Chimney, West Virginia, with my buddy John Blizzard. How you doing, John?
Doing great. Doing great.
And
we have rehearsed this whole thing.
Totally, yeah. It's totally scripted. We got it written down right. I've known John for about 25 years, I think, since I first started coming out here to West Virginia when Pat and I got married. She was already a West Virginia fan of music, dancing, and all, but I came out here and got immediately hooked and been back every year, sometimes several times a year. But when I met John, I thought of him just as a fiddler and a banjo player, but he plays a whole lot of instruments. I've got the CD you gave me when I first came out here. This was a cassette tape originally, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. And 1995. How many instruments do you play on this thing?
I don't know. I have to look.
Take a look at there.
Well, a guitar, banjo, fiddle, mandolin, bass, cello, Irish harp, and Scottish bagpipes.
Wow. All that on here, and you're the only musician on here, too.
Right. So I was the only one I could afford.
Well, right. Yeah, I work cheap for myself, too. I don't charge myself very much. That's great. Well, you know, I came out. I know it's called Possum's Big Fiddle Show, but, you know, I've had a hankering to learn to play the Scottish pipes for a while. I bought this thing several years ago, and I've always been threatening to come have you show me how to get started, because I didn't want to start wrong. You know, like with any instrument, if you start out wrong, you're wrong forever.
Yeah.
So, the old bagpipe chanter, take a look at that thing. See if it's in, tell me if it's any good.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. What is the brand of this thing?
I think it says Gibson somewhere.
Ah, yes. That's what all the competitive pipe bands. I was in a pipe band here in Charleston for about 15 years. It was the 130th Air National Guard Highlanders. Mm-hmm. Kind of associated with the Air Guard. And we, you know, we had a really good pipe band, and but now all the, you know, the set of pipes that I have on loan to a young man who used to be an Allegheny Echo student who plays fiddle and now pipes. He's down in Lexington, Kentucky, and he's using them, and they were made in Glasgow. The company is Hardy, H-A-R-D-I, and world famous pipes.
That's actually a famous name in Scotland, too. Oh, yeah. It's a Hardy Press that publishes a lot of fiddle music, I think. What if they're... It's got to be the same family.
Probably. But basically, all our chanters were, you know, typically pipes are made of African blackwood, and the chanters as well. But all the competitive pipe bands use Gibson chanters, synthetic chanters, because they're all in perfect tune together.
Uh-huh.
Because the old pipe, each one was handmade, and they got it as close, you know, as they could. And, of course, you know, they're called an A instrument. You know, the written music is in the key of A. Mm-hmm. So you can only play 9 notes on a pipe chanter.
Yeah.
But all the competitive pipe bands now use this brand. It's like the best in the world.
Oh. So that's a good one to start on. Oh,
yeah, the best.
Cool. Yeah, John yesterday was showing me the fingering. I'm not going to torture anybody now by trying to play the scale.
Yeah, that's kind of a private thing at this level.
But some point in the future, in a future episode, if there are any.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
I'll play this for you. I'll have John review me over Skype maybe, and then I'll play it. What would be a good first tune to start? What's an easy first tune to start with?
Oh, The Green Hills of Tyrol, or Amazing Grace. I mean, everyone plays that on the pipe.
Yeah, and then the tough bit comes when you start putting in the grace notes, too, right?
But you have to do that on all those tunes.
Sure.
Just when we, you know, how you typically are trained, they say it takes 21 years to make a piper.
Mm-hmm. And is it 7-year increments of learning?
Yes, 3. Learning. Playing and performing.
Uh-huh. All right. I was going to say learning, playing out of tune. That's kind of how you do with the mandolin, you know.
Yeah.
Play it for years out of tune. And
then when you finally get it tuned, you think you just have a rhyme.
And then it goes out of tune right away. Now, you played the Irish harp, too.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about this old harp.
It's the parent company is Lyon and Healy. And in the early 1900s, of course, they had a factory in New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they hired two Irishmen, one named Clark and one named O'Brien. And they made these harps. It's designed like a classical full-size harp.
Sure.
You know, it's got it's a rounded back with the steel ribs, and you know, it's basically a miniature concert harp. And they're all hand-painted, and all the little pins here, the bridge they call bridge pins, are ivory, and each one is a different diameter.
Yeah, I was noting that yesterday. It looks like they by a millimeter or something,
yeah,
as they get larger. That's a quite a piece of detail there. You would think they'd just, you know, use the same size peg on each one.
Well, yeah, the strings are different. Everyone's different. So. But basically, and it's all hand painted, and actually, I think I found the daughter of the Mr. Clark that made this one. I think I found her online or something.
Really?
And she collects these.
Huh.
You know, the sure. dad did. But, I always wanted to learn to play, and I worked next to a record shop, and this guy knew I played, you know, Irish and Scottish kind of fiddle and stuff, and he brought me an Alan Stavell album.
Alan Stavell, who's that?
He is from Brittany, and he's the father of the Renaissance of the Celtic harp.
Uh-huh.
He's from Brittany, and he was also instrumental in retaining Breton language in the school system.
Hmm.
Yeah. His father was a harp maker, and his last name is Cochevillou, but he just goes by Alan Stavell.
But Brittany, that's France, right?
Yeah.
That's like the Celtic region of France.
Yeah, exactly. But basically, I wanted to, I listened to this record, and I worked at a music shop, and we went to, actually, McCormick Place in Chicago mm-hmm. for a NOM show.
Right.
And I met a company from Arles in France called CAMAC, C-A-M-A-C, and they sold bombards, and, you know, I brought all this stuff back to the music store, you know.
Sure, you're buying for the
bombards and
wholesale for the store.
So I bought myself a harp kit, which they had to ship by ship
mm-hmm.
back then.
Uh-huh.
And basically, everything came intact except for the bridge, this strip down the center,
right.
And it had warped. So I went to a local luthier and had him, you know, make one. And I built my first harp, and that was steel strung. And then through the years, I had a Lyon and Healy Troubadour like you guys had.
Yeah, right.
And I had a couple of pedal harps.
Oh, really? You had some pedal harps?
Yeah.
Wow.
English pedal harps.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just unwieldy and, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I gave the harp that I built to my grandson who lives in Texas. He has that now, and this is the one I used on that recording, and
mm-hmm.
I played for years in, like, you know, dinner clubs and art openings and
right.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And background music or whatever. But, I don't play very much anymore. But still love it.
Beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
And even this little stand is part of.
Yeah, it's just got the same serial number.
It's like a matching thing.
Yeah. Same serial number as the harp. And also, the legs fold up.
So it's transportable then.
Right.
Oh, that's very cool.
You know, and of course, you can take it off the stand.
Yeah.
There's a little lock.
Put it on a table or something.
Yeah.
What year was this built again? Yeah.
It's our 1915 patent. Patent date. It's close to being in tune.
Yeah.
That's how you fine tune them when they're sharp.
Sure. Just stretch it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's nylon and gut.
Nylon gut.
Yeah.
And these are all the wound strings are silk core.
Oh, like a classical guitar string.
Right. And then cool. some of these are some are gut, some are nylon.
Yeah. But, yeah, the paint job of the Irish decorations on there is really cool.
Yeah, too. The Celtic art.
Yeah, the woven Celtic art thing. That's really.
And
nice.
It's got little shamrocks on the corners here.
Oh, sure. Just to add a little more
and
detail.
On the back here, there's mm-hmm. got little shamrocks above each hole.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But, it's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of weddings with it. And some funerals.
Hey, should we try to play a fiddle tune? You got a fiddle handy?
It's out in the shop.
All right. Well, let's wander out to the shop.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're out here in the shop where all the magic takes place.
Yeah, that's where the cobwebs.
This is the place. A little ambient air conditioner noise, fine.
We'll turn that off.
No, it's fine. So let it run. Otherwise, it's going to get hot.
Yeah. Especially with this hot thing.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
We're going to.
And I've got your books right there, by the way.
Oh, under sure. You sure do, I guess.
Let's do this.
Yes. Go ahead.
This needs to be.
Oh, that needs to be shown.
And your, up there.
The Swannanoa Gathering. John was showing me this very interesting cover of the Swannanoa Gathering. It's I'll put up a slide of it here. Yeah, you were showing me this, and I was thinking, what came over them to put this picture on the front of their camera?
I mean, it's a Bible Belt place. And,
right, yeah, it's a private college, right?
Private, I think, Methodist college.
Well, it is a religious theme, but it's very fairly explicit. Explicit.
Some liberties.
Or libertines.
Libertines.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
He looks like Marty Feldman with red hair.
You're right. She does a lot with a lot of Marty Feldman. And apparently there was a banjo in the Garden of Eden. That's comforting.
That's
very comforting to know.
Gives me hope.
So yeah, we were talking about tuning the fiddle here just a minute ago. And
we decided probably be a good idea.
It's kind to the audience, you know. I mentioned that this is the first episode. If there'd be another episode, you know, sometimes the pilot episode, you get canceled after the pilot.
I figure, you know, you're going to get so many. What do they call it? It's going to go viral.
Viral, yes. But not the kind of virus we're wanting, though. I think.
Right. Yeah, it appears I'm sharp.
Okay, let's see. I knew that.
My fiddle was
I knew
sharp.
You were sharp.
No. Play food.
Play me an A. There you go.
Oh, I got an A. Perfect. I knew I was a little flat there.
But you were mentioning using these tuning forks, you know. You youngins would use these electronic tuners. This is how we used to tune before there was electricity.
And it's so funny. Last year, I teach at some music camp called Allegheny Echoes. And mm-hmm. And always take my fiddle repair kit, which is a big tackle box over here.
Yeah.
And always have to fix somebody. You know, we've got like five fiddle classes.
Sure. People showing up with fiddles in all kind of conditions.
Yeah, go to room 209 and he'll fix your fiddle or whatever. So basically, these two young boys came over. Actually, one of them was in my class, Trevor Jordan, I think. And he had some sort of issue. Oh, perfect. And anyway, so I did whatever it was. I think I've had to put a new bridge on or something.
Something pretty major then,
yeah.
Just a minor adjustment, yeah.
And so I had used my bridge jack to do all that. So basically, when we got done, I went like this. And they looked at me and said, "Man, that's old school."
You're so right.
These are like 14, 15-year-old boys.
Sure, sure. They'd never seen a pitchfork. A tuning fork, had they?
Yeah, pitchfork.
Pitchfork. Yeah, pitchfork. I've seen a pitchfork, but it wasn't welcome when, you know, I was being
That's
chased
the kind
somewhere.
I used on the farm.
Right.
Hey.
But, you know, I'm always plumbing the depths of how cheap a something I can buy, you know. Like the cheapest wine that you can stand to drink.
Right.
And the cheapest beer you can stand to drink. And sometimes you get below that line. And
I know.
It's not doesn't work. Yeah. Well, I found the same thing with these darn tuning forks. I bought a couple on Amazon. I'm a big Amazon shopper, you know. And they were like $4. I said, well, how can I go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tuned up my fiddle to Pat
was playing the piano, and I started to play, and she said, "You're not in tune." And we turns out that thing's like 5 cents. The one we bought was out of tune. It wasn't an A. It was like 445 or something.
I always buy the German ones. Yeah. They're always pretty accurate.
Yeah. So
I mean, I test them with an electronic tuner just to, you know,
when you
to
get
verify
them
that they're are what they say.
But I discovered that if you're going to buy a tuning fork, spend $9, not $4.
Yeah,
it's worth the extra $5. The fact.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me when I first started playing harp. I had my first harp, which is metal strung. People come over to the house and want to play and stuff. And, of course, they didn't know. I was playing a lot of early music and, you know, all kinds
Castle
of
music.
Yeah. So, basically, and a lot of them weren't very good musicians. So, what I did was I tuned half a step below standard. And they would come over and say, "Well, get that harp. Let's play something." And I said, "Well, you know, boys, I can't tune it up all the way to standard because the soundboard might break."
Sure, yeah.
And so I avoided playing with people for years by tuning half a step low.
Then you didn't have to join in.
That's right.
That's a good idea.
I didn't have to listen to really bad fiddlers or whatever.
I'd love to play with you, but I'm not in tune.
Oh, it's just the nature of the beast.
Howdy, folks. This is Charlie Walton. Thanks for watching this episode of Possum's Big Fiddle Show. How about taking a moment after the program is over and calling my hotline at 847-920-7587. Let me know what you think. Now back to the program.
All right, so what are we going to try to play here?
I don't know. Let's do Faded Love.
Okay.
All right. I'll play the seconds.
That's what I asked you about. I love
Wait a minute.
I love twin fiddling. I'm trying to learn to play twin fiddle. That's a project.
Let's do the Shokin Farewell.
Oh, now tell us about this little trick you've discovered.
Well, a bunch of old guys I'm playing with now. Been playing with them since. Played with them a couple of years in the early 70s. They all retired. Now they're all, you know, 67 to 84. And so one of the other fiddle player, he's a classical violinist who plays pretty good fiddle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to do a Shokin Farewell. So we were out here practicing, just sitting where we are. And so, you know, and how we decided as a group to do it, he would do it all the way through A and B part by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would join in. And I would play harmony on the second time through.
Yes.
And on the third time through, I would just play chordal backups.
Okay.
You know, two-note chordal
backups. Yeah.
Well, I forget when it happened, but we were, he played the first time through, and then, you know, played the A and B part, and I was supposed to join him and play harmony. Instead, I went to the B part while he was playing the A part, and about halfway through, I said, "Shit, this works."
You mean kind of by accident?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, let's do it.
Okay, all right.
You play it through by yourself.
Okay, well, why don't you do the chords with me? You know, that's the genius of Jay Unger. I bet he knows that. I bet it's a bunch of different chords, but somehow they lay on top of each other, don't they? Because the chords to accompany the second part are very different.
Oh, yeah. Because when you're playing the first part,
yes,
and I'm playing the second part together,
mm-hmm,
there's minor kind of sounding,
yes,
stuff. There's counterpoint.
There's dominant seventh chords.
Dominant sevenths and harmony.
Right.
And, you know, it just...
Man, it works.
It's kind of neat.
That's great.
You need to maybe do something. It appears you're doing it.
Right. I don't know. I think I'll have to edit this part out. I'm not ready to share this with the world.
This might be something, a good secret to
hold
keep
it back.
Just for a little bit.
what else could we play? A snappy number.
Oh.
Well, I'm not a very snappy fiddler anymore. You pick something.
Golden Slippers, you play, ever mess with that? Or,
Yeah.
Maybe you could twin me on it, play through together once, and then you can find some harmonic notes there.
Swedish fiddling. About 3 months later.
Oh, is this a special edition of Golden Seal?
Yeah, just dedicated to Frank.
Oh, wow. I've got to buy myself a copy of this over there tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Stan will be over there, Stan Baumgartner. He's the editor of Golden Seal. And he's a fiddle player, by the way.
Uh-huh. What's his name?
Stan Baumgartner.
Okay, good.
He's the editor of this. And basically, he... oh, God, that's where I look like a car salesman. Used car. This is one.
Or young Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
There's John, folks.
No, don't do that.
But, well, you know, the thing I always liked about Frank was he was very in touch with the whole Scotch-Irish nature of people in West Virginia.
Right.
And it wasn't put on. It wasn't an affectation. He loved that music, and he saw the connection between the old world music and the music that's been played in West Virginia.
Well, his grandfather, William George, was raised by slaves.
Oh, really?
And learned Scottish music from the slaves. But anyway, and there's...
But definitely would have been in the 1800s, mid-1800s or something like that.
Yeah, Civil War era.
Right. Wow.
And those are the instruments his dad made for him when he was a little boy. He's still... Well, actually... the family gave Kim Johnson one of the banjos.
Wow, this is a whole
half of the thing is
dedicated
Frank.
To Frank.
You know, Frank's still influencing people. You know, Bobby learned from him.
Of course,
I learned from him. Tim,
yeah,
Mike.
But
countless people.
You could explore this thing though about the Celtic music. I mean, he was so connected with the Scottish music, especially, right?
Yeah.
And did he teach you to play bagpipes or get you started playing?
No, his student, Dennis Harrison, was my pipe teacher.
Okay, gotcha.
So I learned indirectly from him.
Yeah.
And I got a picture Kim Johnson sent me the last time Frank got interocular problem, pressure, and he quit playing the brake pipe.
Well, let's click that air conditioner off. Folks, this is reality here. The air conditioners come on when you're in West Virginia and it's late May. It gets hot.
It's hotter than two.
No. Save that for later.
That would definitely be edited.
Yeah, we'd have to edit that out probably.
But anyway, Frank, I think it was at Echoes or Glenville one year. He hadn't played for like 5 years. And I just always took my pipes to Glenville, to the folk festival, and to Echoes and play. And I just seasoned the bag.
I beg your pardon.
I just seasoned my bag with the airtight. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. Bag seasoning. And I had brand new synthetic drum reeds, and I had a what's called a weak chanter reed, meaning it takes less air to activate it.
Oh, okay.
So Frank, you know, was there, and I think he maybe had a nip or two, and was in the parking lot. It was either at the Folk Festival or Allegheny Echoes, and I've got that picture of, I'll show it to you later, some fireplace mantle. So he played, I think he played the Highland Laddie.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the last time he played the full set of
really?
War pipes, which he was always... always ready to tell you that they were listed in the British Army inventory under weapons.
Right.
And they still are, right. As I understand it.
And anyone who's not a connoisseur of bagpipe music will think they're a weapon because they're...
Well, yeah.
They're kind of loud.
Well, the first time I heard them was... there was an episode of Wagon Train. And there were all these Campbells going west.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Ward Bond was there.
With their best fake Hollywood Scottish accents.
Exactly. And basically, they were at some place, they had to circle the wagons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good defensive move.
Here come the engines.
Yep.
Well, the Campbells got their pipers out, and they scared them away.
And nary a shot was fired.
You know, and the first time I heard it, it just, you know, raised the hair on my arms.
Oh, yeah.
I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and then eventually I ended up... playing the pipes. Chimney View or Big Elk? We're not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've had a great time here at Big Chimney this afternoon with John.
Big Chimbley.
Chimbley. Let's go out with something. What do you got there?
Faded Love.
All right.
Indeed.
Take one. That's in the can.
That's right.
It's like we played it in the can.
Yeah.
let's finish up with that one here.
All right.
G, Junior's Waltz. With the big guitar, the big Fender copy.
Lawsuit pending.
That's right. Finest Japanese technology in the 60s. Thank you. Oh, man.
That was fun.
That was fun.